Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So now Nityananda Das's question. What are the primary and secondary features of a neophyte devotee's devotional service? Haridas. The two primary features of a neophyte devotee's devotional service are, one, faith that the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form is eternal, and two, worship of the Lord's deity form. The secondary features of a neophyte devotee's devotional service are, one, hearing about the Lord, and two, chanting the Lord's glories. Oh, three, remembering the Lord. And four, a host of other activities, beginning with offering obeisances to the Lord. Nityananda Das. Without having faith in the Lord's that the Lord's form is eternal, no one can be a Vaishnava. Also, without worshipping the deity form of the Lord, according to the rules of worship, no one can be a Vaishnava. I can understand why these two are primary features. However, I do not understand why the other features are secondary. Right? So, that is his question. Here is faith and worship of the Lord is primary, but hearing about the Lord, chanting, remembering, means these other processes are the nine processes. Faith is the foundation, and then worship the Archanam is taken as primary. And so now he's mentioned that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, these things are secondary for the neophyte. So now his question is, why is that? Haridas. A neophyte devotee does not understand the true nature of pure devotional service. Hearing and chanting the Lord's glories, as well as other like devotional activities, are all part and parcel of pure devotional service. However, a person who does not understand the true nature of devotional service does not think these are primary activities of devotional service. Such a person considers these activities secondary. The three modes of nature are goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the performer takes shelter of these material modes, he considers these devotional activities to be secondary. When the performer is free from the influence of the material modes, he considers these activities, which begin with hearing and chanting the Lord's glories, to be the primary features of devotional service. When a devotee is thus free of the material modes, he is an intermediate Madhyama devotee. Nityananda Das. A neophyte devotee is still contaminated by mental speculation, fruit of work, and the non-devotional desires. Why is he still considered a devotee? Haridas. Faith is the root of devotional service. Anyone who has faith is qualified to engage in devotional service. A neophyte devotee stands at the entrance to the house of devotional service. Of that there is no doubt. The word faith means trust. Because he trusts that the form of the Lord is a reality, the neophyte devotee is qualified to engage in devotional service. Nityananda Das. When will such a person attain true devotion to the Lord? Haridas. When he becomes free from mental speculation and fruit of work. When he desires only to engage in unalloyed devotional service. When he understands that honoring a guest is different from honoring a devotee. And when he desires to serve the devotees, that service being very conducive to the attainment of pure true devotion. Then he becomes an intermediate Madhyama devotee, a pure devotee. Interesting to note that when they can tell, they understand the difference between honoring a guest and honoring a devotee. So here, as we see in the Vedic culture, you know, which is bound by fruitive activities, karma gyan, and yoga, then, but within that, they must honor guests. They must take care of guests. They must deal properly with guests. So then, an interesting thing comes, is that then devotees are going to be, if they somehow or another go to such a pious person's house, then they will also be properly received and honored by those persons. Though they don't know the difference. They honor anyone who is a guest. But by their great fortune, then this guest happens to be a devotee. So they get the benefit, but it's agyata sukriti. They don't really understand, so they haven't seriously taken up the devotional activities here. Like that. Or they're taking up the devotional activities, but they won't come to the Madhyama platform. They won't come to the intermediate platform. Because they're still interested in all these other aspects. So therefore it says, standing at the door. So they're performing devotional activities, but it's not on the pure platform. So maybe one of the first verses in the Nectar Devotion, this Anya Vilasita Sunya. So that this whole thing of jnana karmadya navitam, anukumyena krishna anushilanam, that is favorable to Krishna and is free from karma and jnana, that then defines pure devotional service. So here, then, the pure devotee means it starts with the madhyama. Madhyama is considered pure because he gives up the desire for this mental speculation and fruit of work. But we see that if someone has been conditioned to a life of piety according to the Vedic standard, then they will perform all these nice activities that are conducive to interacting with devotees, though they may not take it very seriously. They'll take their other aspects more seriously. But if they do take it seriously, then all the things stay in place. The whole culture stays in place. Simply what happens is now they see it from a platform of not desiring the results, but they do it to please Krishna. Well, before they were pious because then they'll get good results, or they won't lose good results, they won't get bad results. So it's more of a business mentality. But then for the devotee, then they give that up, and then they do it because it's pleasing to Krishna. Like that. So then this becomes... We see it's useful then, this whole thing. Therefore it says that the devotee leads a pious life, or a moral life, like that. So then, you can come over here, so, or sit over there, or something. So you get some more space. Nityananda Das. Pure devotional service is manifested at the same time one attains knowledge of his relationship with the Lord. When does he attain knowledge of that relationship? Knowledge that makes him eligible to engage in pure devotional service. Haridas. When he is no longer contaminated by Mayavad philosophy, then his awareness of his true relationship with the Lord and his engagement in pure devotional service are manifested simultaneously. Yeah, because the Mayavad philosophy means that we think we are the Lord, and that is actually why we're in the material world, because of this mentality. So when we understand we're not the Lord, that we're servant of the Lord, then that is the true relationship. It's important to understand that this aspect of true relationship is not simply meaning the constitutional relationship in a particular rasa.
What it means is the constitutional position of the living entity as the Lord's servant. So when he gives up this Mayavad philosophy, because that means Mayavad will be the form of the Lord is not eternal, and we are God. So when that's given up, then you can establish a relationship with the Lord. Therefore he says it's simultaneous. Like that. Otherwise, if these two are there, open these two windows. Then there'll be a problem. There'll be a problem because of you can't establish a relationship. If God's form is not eternal, how will we establish a spiritual relationship? Because he's spiritual, how will we do it? And if we think we're the Lord, then how we can establish a proper relationship? So therefore, then it is proper. So true relationship, because we see is here in the position of the neophyte, that the neophyte will feel that they're performing their activities for material gain or speculation like this. So then that will create problems. Therefore it's not considered pure devotional service. But when this Mayavad contamination goes, then it can be established like that. So these are very fine points, various aspects. These are given for the purpose of using for ourselves. This is very important. These are not for using for others. Unless there's someone who is there for that you can preach to or help cultivate their relationship. But it is not to be used on others. This is to be used on ourselves. For others, we saw before, the standard who has chanted even once Hare Krishna, they're a neophyte devotee. Those who are constantly chanting, that is the Madhyama. And then those who, by seeing them, start chanting, that is the Uttama. These are the ones we use on others. These very simple kind of things. We always have to see in relationships so we don't mess these up. I'll also turn on this first one. The first switch on the left. No, that's not a switch. Yes, that's a switch. No, not that one. Because that blows up. So this is very important in relationships. Means it's a fact that these aspects are there, but one has to know how to use them. It's just like there'll be etiquettes on someone who's serving and someone who's eating. So just like we say, okay, then you have a relationship in eating. So one of the persons is always trying to see that the other person is taking more. You know, this is what they're trying to do. And that. And the other person is trying to see how they can take less. Like that. So now, if it's in the right position, then it's a very pleasant situation. The meal is very pleasant. But the server is trying to get you to take more and you're trying to take less. It's a very nice interaction. Now, if you have the server is trying to give less and the person eating is trying to take more, then it'll be very, very uncomfortable. Now, someone may say, well, the Shastra says someone's eating less, someone's trying to get less, someone's trying to give more. Like this. So, therefore, then we are doing that. So then there's something wrong here with the scriptures. We've tried that, been there, done that. Now let us move on to something else. Or, you know, we don't trust others' authority, we'll do our own thing. Like this. So this is the problem, is the scriptures are telling. Now this is taken and then you take that and apply it on someone else. Yes, neophyte is that. Then this is just the same way as the server thinking, I'm supposed to give as little as possible. And then if we claim that we've actually followed the process, or even understood the process, then we're not well informed. So we have to be very, very careful of this, because this goes on a lot, right? Spiritual master is to see himself as servant of the Lord. He's nothing. The disciple is supposed to see him as the Lord's representative, as an Uttamadhikara, right? If you reverse these,
you have nothing.
You can't even call it spiritual life. But this is going on today. You have new devotees, not even initiated. They have this to say about that one, that to say about this one. And then we wonder. Or people in leading positions, and they say, no, we must be this, we must be that. And then we wonder why things don't work. And we'll say, it's according to Shastra. Yes, it is according to Shastra. But it's according to Shastra exactly the opposite of how it's being applied. Therefore, you can't, it's not good enough. Oh, but it's just a, you know, it's not that it's a minor thing. Yes, it's a minor thing. I'm supposed to stay on the road, I'm not supposed to drive on the sidewalk. Right? And, you know, I stop at all the lights and this and that. It's just a small detail that I was driving on the other side of the street. Why you're so upset? What's the big deal? No, but just by doing that, you make a mess out of the whole thing. So it's very important that these kind of scriptures are understood in this way. They're giving details for applying to ourselves. Then if we can apply them to ourselves, only can we apply them to others. Otherwise, it's not. You read this and just immediately go out and say, yeah, this guy, this guy. Then better it is not seen or read or even heard about. If you can't apply it to yourself, don't even bother trying to apply it for others. It's just, it just doesn't work. The Vedic system starts with ourself. It's very individual, right? Is the individual understands who they are, what is their duties, what they're supposed to do, everything. Someone who can understand that, then they can understand then how, what other people's duties are, how they're supposed to interact. Then if they can do that, then they can start to teach and lead others. That's the position. Some will say, no, you just take up, start to lead this. No, it means, no, you start from the individual. I've seen many, many times when you discuss, you know, the application of these devotional activities or the aspects of Varnashram. It's always, okay, yes, we have to establish, you know, the whole managerial system, this, that. Then only the individual can peacefully work. No, it means the individual takes it himself, applies it to himself, makes it work. Right? If you have 100 people in the community, 100 people can apply it to themselves, it's done. Like that. Now from those people who can do it, then you find someone who has the leadership abilities, they lead. But one cannot be a leader in the Vedic system unless you can follow it. Unless you can apply it in your life, there's no question of leading. Like that. It means, of course, in the material world, it's easy to lead because it means the modern world, because it's based on sense gratification. Everybody can be a sense gratifier, so therefore, spontaneously, one can, one has leadership abilities, one just leads. Because it's based on your own senses, therefore, when you get to the top, you do whatever you like, as long as it doesn't get immediately removed from power, and then, you know, it's considered okay. Somebody's a bad leader, everybody complains it's bad, but no one says that this is not right. It's just that it's bad. You know, it's not good because they shouldn't do that. But it's perfectly natural that they do it. But they shouldn't be doing it. Well, the Vedic system, it's not a question of being naturally doing it. If that's their attitude, yes, then naturally they should be living in the forest with the other tribals. Like that. People who can follow, they live in the cities and villages, and they are the ones that, you know, properly perform the activities, take the leadership position. But if their natural position is simply, you know, sense gratification, this, that, then yes, forest is there, do what you like. You know, just don't bother anybody. So that's the thing. So we have to see, you know, very carefully here how these things are being said and how that's saying. The essence is meaning is that when our interest is in getting fruit of results and in mental speculation, then we're going to stay and our service is not necessarily favorable. It has our own motive to it, even if it is typical or traditional service. Like we're doing artik for the deity. That's proper service. According to the rules, we're doing everything proper. But if we're doing it with the idea that I'll ask Krishna, you know, I'll please Krishna, and then I will be able to get from him, you know, all kinds of material desires, then it means it's mixed with some fruitive work. So then for the devotee, then, yeah. So that is one main point. So when that's given up, then they become madhyama. Then that's considered pure devotional service. Like that. So pure devotional service starts at madhyama, not at uttama. It starts at madhyama. Then the other aspect is that the deity worship and faith, these are primary, because the others are not considered so important. So the farther, yes, so the more one is seeing these things from a pious point of view, the less one feels the importance of hearing, chanting, and all these things. But if one takes up seriously, then of course, those become primary, and then it goes the other way. So we see how, from this definition, we can understand some very amazing things that Srila Prabhupada has done. That even new person comes and seriously takes up the chanting and association with devotees. Basically, immediately, they're situated in this madhyama platform of understanding. Maybe they don't have the realization, but that platform is established, that the hearing, chanting, these are the major, and the other aspects are supported. So like that. So it's so he's given the madhyama lifestyle. He's given that, which is very, very unique. Like that. Well, most start with you. Most you find, they give the pious lifestyle. Like that, and then within that, then they give the devotional. The Prabhupada gives the devotional, and then as you mature, then you're able to put in the pious lifestyle. Like that. It's very, very special in that way. Nityananda Das. How many days does that take? Haridas. A person who in the past performed many pious deeds will attain it quickly. Nityananda Das. What is the first result these past pious deeds bring? Haridas. Association with devotees. Nityananda. What result is gradually attained by associating with devotees? Haridas. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And therefore, he is free and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Thus, a person who in the association of devotees hears about Lord Hari gradually attains faith and other virtues. Yeah, because in a previous chapter, then it was discussed how the living entity, by coming in contact with devotional service in so many ways, then he performs devotional activities, though they're unknown. And then by that, the result is that it will give one the association of devotees. So that was a discussion before between Vaishnava Das and the Smarta Brahmins, because they were trying to ascertain how could the Yavana, you know, the descendant of Chankazi, how could he be a devotee, though he's a Muslim? Like that. So they were trying to point out the difference between material pious activities and the spiritual pious activities. So the result of material pious activities is more pious results, more pious activity. You do a pious activity, then the seed will be planted to do more, and the fruit will be whatever the result is. But it can't give the spiritual. But the spiritual can be cultivated separately. So therefore, someone could be dealing on a different platform, even an impious platform, and they could be gaining devotional credit, devotional sukriti. By, you know, so many things, taking prasad, seeing the devotees, appreciating the Harinam, or seeing the festivals, like this, even though they may be doing so much other activities. And then slowly, slowly, then they come to a spiritual platform. Then they take up the association of devotees. In that association, they become serious. So then here we can also see is that there is you could say that there's also two aspects of the neophyte devotee by these situations. There's one who is means they've chanted the holy name of the Lord. So then they're devotees. But they may not be following seriously any particular pious or any principles. They may be doing to some degree, but they're not really committed to it. Example is given like those in the caste Goswami families. You know, it's their line to be involved in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But they know some of the philosophy, they may have some of the practices, but they're not very serious about it. Like that. Or those who are born in the family of devotees also. Just they're born in the family, they can take it up, they may take it, they may not take it, or they take it, but only to some degree. Like this. But then sampradayak devotee, then there's a division there, but that means someone who's taken the association of devotees seriously and has surrendered to the process. So by that association, then you get bhajana kriya. Because before, the bhajana kriya is not very prominent. Therefore, it says worship of the deity and faith. And if you go, basically, to any life member's house or any Hindu's house, they have deities and they may have, if they're worshipping Ram or Krishna like this, they have faith in the Lord's form. Like that. But other practices are not very strict. They serve, you know, when guests come, they take care very nicely, but they don't distinguish between a devotee coming, a Mayavadi coming, some other relative coming, you know, some, you know, like this and that. They don't distinguish, really. So that's what he's speaking of here. So that would be the general. So then here, basically, he's taking sampradayak to mean madhyama. And non-sampradayak to mean not. Because traditionally, that second initiation was initiation. What we call first and then second, they went together. They weren't separated. Because the person's the qualifications were greater. Here we see all these cases here. The devotees in Godrum and that, or in this case then on this more eastern side, then they are in the Dham, they are here, and they're practicing devotional activities. But then after that we see that other persons are coming to them. They're looking for them by some way or another. They've heard about them, they've come here, they've been directed this way. All these conversations are coming like that. So then we see is that such persons, then they discuss the philosophy. After they're convinced of the philosophy, then they surrender. Then they're initiated. So basically then they take up the Madhyama platform. Like that. So then, in here, that definition works very nicely. Right? But here, where you have the preaching mission going out, then you have the thing where you separate the second initiation into first. So then we see Prabhupada then says, second initiation, then Madhyama. So then one can still be sampradayak, but within the Kanista platform. Like that. Does that make some sense? So it's just talking the same thing, but just because of the nature of it, it's been split like this. So it still applies, but, you know, like this. One should feel free if one has questions at any time that can be asked, yes.
You mentioned that if you are performing, for example, art, and you have some motive inside, you expect something material from the art. Does it mean that you are creating actually karma, even if you are performing devotional service? And there are the statements like, when you take initiation, you are not anymore under the influence of your karma. So, what's the degree of what the devotee is free from his karma?
See, karma means is fruitive result, fruitive work. One thinks one is the doer, and therefore you get the result. The modes of nature are doing everything. There's nothing that's not being done by the modes of nature. is our breathing, our moving, we want to pick up something, we didn't just pick it up. That's done by the modes, it's not done by us. We have the desire, and the modes of nature carry it out. So when we think we're the doer, then karma is involved, like that, good or bad. So then when one takes up devotional service, then one steps out of this cycle. But it's a very interesting thing, because the material world is designed to take people back to Godhead. That's its whole purpose. Though it may be misunderstood and misused, but the material world is designed to reform the living entity. It's just like a jail. It's designed to reform a person so that they may come back into the society. Or if their mentality is so bad, at least it keeps them away from other people. But one could be in jail and not reform oneself, not to. That's another. So that's the point, is the material world, therefore, may be not used properly. So now, in there, pious activities means those activities that are more favorable towards devotional service. Not necessarily in detail, but in principle. Like that. Maybe also in detail. But it may be also just in principle. Excuse me. So then, and impious activities means things that are not favorable for devotional service. So one gets a reaction for that, that is painful, and for the other, then one gets something that is good, is happy. Just like you're training an animal. When an animal does something wrong, then you don't deal with it nicely if it does something wrong. If it does something right, you encourage it, you give it a biscuit, or you do something, you know, pat it on the head, something nice. So when they've done something right, they have gone, they want to go to the heavenly planets, so therefore they decide they should do sacrifice, right? So then, this is good, right? It means sacrifice they should be doing is the Yuga Dharma, to go back to Godhead. But they're not come that far, but at least they've accepted the principle of sacrifice is how I'm going to get my needs. Though their need is wrong, so naturally then their process isn't going to be perfect. If their need is to develop love for God, then naturally then their process will be proper. And their understanding of their relationship with the Lord. But they are thinking that they have to understand I'm the soul to take advantage of karma. Right? You can't, unless you understand your soul, how are you going to go to heavenly planets and enjoy and do all this and that on a long-term thing? So therefore, these things need to, there has to be some faith like this. So then the material world, then all these things are designed like that. So the action and reaction is perfectly matched to the mentality. So if someone has an improper mentality, then there is something to rectify that. So the mentality is not dependent upon whether one's a devotee or not. And therefore also the rectification doesn't depend upon whether you're a devotee or not. Is that understood? Means you have, you know, non-devotees, they eat and they throw half of what they eat away, right? It's somehow another, they feel very good getting more on their plate than they can eat and eating what they like and then leaving the rest. It gives them a great feeling that they're very prosperous. The reaction to that, to correct them from that, means they don't get something to eat later. So now if a devotee takes too much prasad, throws prasad, the correction is exactly the same. It won't be different. Therefore, it looks like karma, because the devotee is going to have the same contaminations in the heart that were there before being a devotee. If he's not a devotee and he has certain varieties of lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, illusion, when he becomes a devotee, those same ones are there, because it's the conditioned nature. It's not going to change. It's not that you were there and you were, you know, short and fat and you became a devotee and then suddenly, just as soon as you walked in the temple, then you became tall and skinny and like this. No. Or the other way around. No, it doesn't change. It's exactly the same. You come in with the mentality that was there before. though the karma is removed, but the necessary means of correcting that mentality is still the same. But instead of it just being carried out mechanically by the modes of nature, it's carried out under the direction of Krishna, though still through the modes of nature. It means that you didn't get something to eat, it's still arranged by the modes of nature. But it's now it's under Krishna's direction. Like that. Therefore, it looks like karma. But it's not. But at the same time, you can say it's my karma because it's coming from the result of my mentality that is from previous karma. But it's karma, but it's indirect. It's not the reaction of your karma. It's the reaction of your previous activities developed a particular mentality. Therefore, that mentality has to be corrected.
Would you say that Krishna is using your karma, Krishna karma, Krishna is using your karma too?
Not really, because the karma is gone. Because karma means is then there's a you're getting the result of your activity from the past. But here it's not. Here it's a correction. You know, it's just like yeah. It looks the same, but it's different. You know, that's the thing. So the easiest is to just take it out of that loop, because if you explain it that it's, you know, it's karma, then it's hard to discriminate between the two. But it's the correction for the mentality. So now, therefore, the difference is karma, whether you've corrected your mentality or not, you're going to get the reaction. The seed has been planted, it will give a fruit. Let us say you have done something where you the same example, you've thrown so much food. So now, even though now you've understood, someone's explained it to you, you appreciate, you understand, you know, you've maybe seen other starving people, and so now you understand, so now you never waste any food. But still the reaction to what you previously did is going to come anyway. It doesn't matter how the two are separated. What good is there comes as good, what's bad is there comes as bad. Like that. And sometimes if it's really bad, it can also reduce the good. But otherwise, generally they're two separate things. But as a devotee, you may have that mentality, you're throwing prasad, so therefore then Krishna will apply the thing and you won't get anything. But if you've corrected your mentality, Krishna doesn't necessarily have to. He may not use it. Because the mentality is not there. There's no need for you to end up with nothing to eat. Like that. He may be doing something else. There, you didn't get something to eat, but it's not because of this. Now he's showing you how he takes care. You make your own endeavors, you're not getting anything. When Krishna wants, then you get. You know, one day you have nothing to eat, other day you have three people inviting you to their house. Right? You always see, it's like in a week you get seven invitations, but it's not on 7 days. So you can see it's something very different. So Krishna applies it when he likes or not when he doesn't like. So even though you should get the reaction, maybe now is not good for a certain thing, he'll give it later. But the reaction means is what will correct your mentality. So that's what's different. Material nature is just mechanical. It just goes through according to the law book. But Krishna, he's independent. So as he likes whatever's going to be best, then he'll make that adjustment and that. But modes of nature are there to fulfill his desires. So therefore they do it how he likes. Therefore it's not so good to call it, you know, karma or Krishna karma, because that's another thing like that. It means by bhakti, then you get bhakti. These things are correcting what is against bhakti. Like that. What's against bhakti. So it's actually a separate part of the whole process. It means the devotional activity is remembering Krishna. These corrections are part of not forgetting Krishna. Because we forget Krishna, therefore we get these reactions. So it's a subtle point, but that's how the two. We always have to understand is that when the Shastras say two different things, they're both right. There's no contradiction in the Shastra. Absolutely nowhere. the contradiction is perceived by us because we don't understand what are the principles or like that. But Manu very clearly says there's no contradiction. They're all right. One may say, well, how can they all be right? Because they're all right for a different person. You know? Like this. You know, you say, okay, so what should the child eat? Oh, he should only drink his mother's milk. And then someone else, oh, what should the child eat? Oh, he should eat, you know, some very, you know, simple, you know, boiled things and all that. Oh, what should the child eat? Oh, something very strong and healthy, you know, some good grains and ghee and things like that. What should the child eat? Oh, no, they should fast. Because they're sick. Right? So if you don't know the purposes behind it, that the one means a baby who's just been born, another is someone who's a little bit older, another is a young youth who is, you know, energetic and active, another is someone who's sick, you'll say these are all contradictory. You know? So then, you know, or you'll misapply. You'll have a, you know, the baby, you know, eating, you know, mula paratas and all that, and the 16-year-old drinking his mother's milk. And so then you end up some really weird stuff. So therefore, there's no contradiction. You have to know who it's for. Right? Like in the scriptures, we see Mahabharata, so much is there. There's so much endeavoring to have a son. It's said that better than austerities and penances, 16 times more important is having a son. So then one will say, well, but, you know, we've always heard that austerities are more important than, you know, having a son and doing all these things. Because this instruction is for the person who wants to go to the heavenly planets. You can't go to the heavenly planets without a son. You know, there's no question of it. It means if you want to go to those planets to enjoy yourself, if you want to go above to Janatapa Mahar Satya, then you can do it without a son. But if you want to go from Indus planet on down, where they go there and enjoy, you know, material sense enjoyment, you have to have a son. Otherwise, no question that you're going to get to the heavenly planets. Therefore, it's more important than all your austerities, this and that. In fact, you see, these people do austerities and penances to get a son. Because then they have the son, they'll do the Shraddha. Without the Shraddha, you're not going to get to the heavenly planets. Because it's like having a bank account. As long as you have the passbook, you have the money. So the Shraddha is the passbook. The son doesn't do the Shraddha, you don't have the passbook. You have $1 million in your account, you can't get 1 cent because you don't have the passbook. Son didn't do the Shraddha, that's it. You're going to sit there starving to death somewhere not in the heavenly planets. Like that. But he does, then the whole door is open. And then he keeps doing the Shraddhas, then this keeps feeding you. And you can stay there how long the generations go on. Like that. Therefore you get credit for having trained pious people and imbibed the values that carry on the culture. Right? But for someone who is interested in the impersonal path, having a son doesn't even enter into the picture. It would be a fall down. That person does austerities and penances, that's the real thing, because that will get them, you know, they'll go towards Brahman. So they're both right. So they were saying, why is it here it said the sun, here it said this, you know, like this, and here, there, you know. So you'll see all these different things, so you have to know who it's talking to. Like that. Sinful person, then it says, then there's no problem. Let them enjoy themselves. Let them perform how much sin they like to perform. Don't get in their way. Why bother them? And then you'll say, what is this? You know, for the Aryans, you're saying so much restriction, and then for these tribals, you're saying let them do whatever they like. Why? Because they'll do, it's like the fire and ghee. You pour a bucket of ghee on the fire, that fire goes out. How are the Westerners are becoming devotees? Is there great piety? No, they just completely burn themselves out. They just fry themselves. Therefore, then they if they're fortunate, by the grace of the devotees, they take up devotional service. So it's good for them. Of course, the next step is because of those kind of samskaras, of complete sinful samskaras, then in devotional service, those things will come to the mind. It's a great trouble. While a pious person
then won't have those sinful desires in mind. But their weakness will be, oh, you know, what about this pious activity? What about that pious activity? You know, the faith in the pious activities. That will be there. So the impersonalist will be, you know, not wanting to get involved in anything that has any anxiety to it. Like that. So whatever it is. So the different samskaras have their different advantages and disadvantages. But for someone who's already elevated to take up the path of the tribals, that would be considered fallen. Yeah. But if the tribal can take up the path of the elevated person, that's very good. In other words, the lower can always be sacrificed for the higher. So you have to know what is the order. That's the thing. So Prabhupada very nicely puts that in order. Bhagavatam puts that in order. Then one can understand. Then one can read these things and it's not a disturbance because you know who it's talking to. And you see the principle behind it. The whole thing is, yeah, the whole thing. Let's see. Is that very good? Okay. Yes.
So ultimately, isn't the difference between material and spiritual? What are you doing? Are you wasting your time? So you have to see in conclusion what you're saying. There's a difference.
Yes.
There isn't a difference, then we're wasting our time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there has to be a difference.
Why so much trouble we're going to?
Yeah.
There isn't. If they're on parallel lines.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Or?
Coming to this subject, faith. Yeah, was a definition of faith as trust that the form of the Lord is reality. And I've seen other definitions like this in Vishwanath Chakravarti who was saying, Madhulakadambhira, faith means to have trust in the books that are conducive, scriptures are conducive to bhakti, or have confidence in the process itself. I learned another definition of faith as platform that carries you from knowledge to transcendence. So, and also we have discussed previously that our faith develops and goes through the different stages from Shraddha to Prema. So a definition of a person has faith in Prema would be much different than the definition of the Primula. But another definition Prabhupada gives of Shraddha that says preliminary interest in spiritual things. Some Vajrapada speaks about it brings a person in contact with devotees and then it generates more faith and then Bhajanaki and that such a good stuff. Mm-hmm. They could develop a little bit this thing because sometimes people don't have a right understanding of what means faith.
Well, you have this whole process. So in here you're dealing with what's called Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So you have to establish what is a relationship. So now, if you're going to have a relationship with God, then the first thing is you have to accept that He has an eternal form. Otherwise, there's no relationship. You don't have relationship with the air or with the ether. You have relationship with something with a form. Then you can say, because you can make a proximity, you can do this and that. You can. So that's the first. So then from there, then the other things can be taken up. So then you'll worship the deity. You'll learn how to worship the deity from the devotees or from your parents. And like that, then you may, by performing those activities, your faith may increase where you actually take up the association with the Vaishnavas. Then you can start to learn more. So in that association, then you will understand the scriptures. So we see that there's a faith. And so bhajana kriya means you're hearing and chanting and remembering, studying the scriptures and associating with devotees. So that means that there's the first two stages of faith don't necessarily mean the scriptures. Right? So faith in the scriptures then is necessary for bhajana kriya, otherwise it can't be performed. Like that. Or one may have faith in that because if one's gotten from there, in other words, faith must be there in authority. So devotees work on authority, so they work on the scriptures. So it means they're all just different aspects. So once you've established relationship, then the process comes into play. Is that you can then perform these various activities that will give you the result of prema, that will make mature faith. So it's describing different aspects of the whole process, depending upon who it's talking to, what point you're being made. So it's the same kind of principle, is that one has to understand what it means, because they're all different. Otherwise you hear sometimes people say, you know, pure devotee, uttamadhikari, nitya siddha, you know, fixed in devotional service, you know, all these different things, or no interest in material attractions, or all in the same breath, and they think they're talking about the same level. But actually they're talking about level from madhyamana in this. One who's liberated is an uttam. One who is fixed is the beginning stage of the madhyam. Like that. One is a pure devotee, that means madhyamana. It's quite general. So, you know, nitya siddha, that's very specific, that means after prema. So it's Mahabhagavat, then that means uttamadhikari. And so then like this, one has to be able to distinguish between the different situations. Then you get these different then it's not bewildering, there's no contradiction. Otherwise then it appears that the contradictions, but it's just explaining it from so many different angles. You know, it's just like you say, okay, here, we're talking about, okay, we want to cook something, so therefore, you know, you take a pot and put it on the fire, you know, and put the proper ingredients inside, and then, you know, when it reaches maturity, then it's removed from the fire, and then, you know, offered and eaten. So that gives a general kind of thing, but then someone may say, well, So what's the first thing you do? Okay, well, the first thing is that you have to, you know, deal with the spices. You know? So then, okay, so how do you deal with the spices? And then you find, well, there's different kinds. You may take the spices and dry roast them and after powder them, or you may grind them into a paste, or you may take them and clean out all the rocks and that and use them whole. Like this, but then it's kind of like, but you didn't say anything about that before. You just say put a pot on the fire and cook, so this seems to be contradictory. You're talking about a blender now or a grinder, but you said pot. You know? So it's just depending upon what degree, what detail, then in there. Okay, so now I've got my spices and that. Now I just take a pot. No, you can't take any old pot. You have to take a pot that has a round bottom. No, but you before said pot. Why is getting so much detail? I mean, when Prabhupada was here, everything was so simple. Why are you introducing all these, you know, like that? Because before, you have people don't know anything about, you know, let alone spiritual life, pious life, you know? Wouldn't have an idea of what is, you know, pious life. You know, and now you get down to the detail. This is how it's done. You know? So then this is how it's like that, you know? And then you say, and then you take a spoon. Spoon, you didn't say anything about spoon. You just say put a pot on, put in the proper ingredients and all this, and then, you know. So, therefore, it appears contradictory, but it depends upon what you're talking about. Then there's so much science is there. Prabhupada there says that chanting Hare Krishna is very simple. That's the principle. It's very simple. And very sublime, but the details of it are vast like an ocean. So depending upon the need of the individual, then that aspect is brought out and expanded. And if it's not necessary, like for one person it's not necessary, for another person it is. Someone who's very simple-hearted, then so much detail is not necessary, because already the heart's very, very simple. Someone who's very complex, then you have to explain so many things in a technical way. Right? For someone simple, just inspire them in the activities. If someone is more complicated, then they must be inspired by the academics of it, that they see, they're convinced that this, by knowledge, it's good, like that, you know, or a combination. So it depends on the person, like that. You know, someone who has a weakness in one area, you overemphasize that, so that you bring that out. You know, but for another person, you may not even mention it at all. Because they're already doing it, or it's understood, or it's inferred to through a different aspect. Like you say, yes, you know, you should follow your sadhana nicely. And that's all, you know. And, but for another person, and you're always talking about Mangalartik, you know, getting up early, Brahma Muhurta, you know, all these this kind of things, you know, why this is being done, because that's a weakness. So it may appear to be contradictory, but it's just saying basically the same thing from so many different angles. And then it becomes very, very cool. Something else? Okay. Nityananda Das, how does one attain association with devotees? Haridas, I have already explained that. It is by past pious deeds. It is said, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-53. O my Lord, O infallible Supreme Person, when a person wandering throughout the universe becomes eligible for liberation from material existence, he gets an opportunity to associate with devotees. When he associates with devotees, his attraction for you is awakened. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest goal of the Supreme Devotees, and the Lord of the universe. So you see here is that someone who's eligible for liberation, then they get an opportunity to associate with devotees. So if they actually are, they'll get that opportunity. They'll get that opportunity. Like you see, so many, even the big Mayavadis, they always come in contact with devotees. Whether they take advantage, that's a totally different thing. But that's being arranged because they're moving in that direction, the eligibility for liberation. So if that person would take up Krishna consciousness, they're already very austere, knowledgeable, so many different things. And they would advance very quickly. But we, you know, generally see nowadays they're not interested. But the opportunity is given. So therefore, by past pious deeds that are given by the devotees, then one becomes eligible to take up the association with devotees.
Yes, he was speaking about Agyata Sukhati, he was called Bhakti on Mukhi Sukhati. That specific type of Sukhati, not any pious Sukhati.
No, it's different. Yes, it's a devotional Sukhati. It's gotten from performing some aspect of devotional service. Nityananda Das. If in the association of devotees a neophyte devotee worships the deity of the Lord, can it be said that the neophyte devotee does not by that action also serve the devotees there? Meaning that it's under the direction of the devotee, so it's not that also. Haridas. By associating with devotees, one gradually attains faith in the deity form of the Lord. However, one must worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and also serve as devotees. As long as one does not have faith in both the Lord and his devotees, he will not attain true faith, and one will not be qualified to engage in pure devotional service. I think there's that verse. One who...
Yesterday,
what Parabhakir, Yatadevi, Tathagura, Kasete, if one has full faith in the devotees and the Lord, then everything is revealed. So one can't approach the Lord without the devotees, otherwise everything's not revealed. Because everything means the Lord and his devotees. So if you don't serve the devotees, then how, even if it's revealed, what you'll do with it? You won't care for it or notice it. So it must be done. Nityananda Das. Through what stages does a neophyte devotee pass as he makes spiritual advancement? Haridas. First, he has faith in the deity, but he has not yet lost the desire for material things and non-devotional talk. Every day he worships the deity. Devotees come to visit the temple where he worships the deity. He honors the devotees as he would any visitors. The neophyte devotee sees the activities of these more advanced devotees. He hears them discussing the scriptures and the Vaishnava philosophy. Thus hearing and hearing and seeing, he develops respect for the good character of the more advanced devotees. Then he himself gradually becomes purified. Gradually his interest in mental speculation and fruitive activities becomes less and less. Then his heart becomes purified and the material desires in it are thrown far away. Hearing and hearing about Lord Hari's nature and activities, he becomes learned in the scriptures. Studying again and again the truths that Lord Hari is beyond the touch of the material modes of nature. Lord Hari's holy name is beyond the touch of the material modes of nature. And the devotional activities that begin with hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Hari are also beyond the touch of material modes of nature. He gradually comes to understand the truth of his relationship with Lord Hari. When that understanding becomes perfect, he becomes an intermediate madhyama, devotee of the Lord. Then he spontaneously associates with and serves the devotees. Then he can understand that the devotees who have accepted a spiritual master are different from ordinary guests. So we could understand if this was our... if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had left this as the standard for initiation, then we might still be waiting. In other words, it made it more readily available. But still, the platforms are there. So that's the thing, is devotional service can go on. The holy name doesn't care for so many things.
So it can function.
At the same time as these stages are still there. They don't go away. Though it may go quicker, certain aspects may be brought out more. But the process that he just mentioned is the same process. So we can see from both things is one is to get to the perfection of that, that's a very elevated thing. Therefore we can see that they're talking here. The same time as these principles of understanding and trying to practice this life of Naishkarma has been brought down, even to the newest person can take it up and practice it. So we see that both of these aspects. So it can be, it's brought down so they can all take practice, but its perfection still may be seen later. So one's given the opportunity to take up the Madhyama lifestyle, the Madhyama understanding, though it may not be Madhyama realization. So here he's talking about realization, not understanding. Like that. But Prabhupada's so nicely given us that Madhyama understanding. So even the newest person understands that. So they're situated then basically, you know, in theory on the Madhyama platform by which they work. So their occupation and their activities are on that. Though it may take time for that realization to be there. But you can't find a better place and better place to get to the Madhyama platform from than the situation of the Madhyama platform. Like that. So therefore, it's a very wonderful arrangement. Nityananda Das. Many neophyte devotees do not become advanced in this way. Why is that? Haridas. When his association with persons who hate devotional service is strong, he quickly loses the right to be a neophyte devotee. Then his interest in mental speculation and fruitive actions becomes strong. Sometimes a neophyte devotee neither makes advancement nor falls away. Nityananda Das. When does that happen? Haridas. When the neophyte's association with devotees and persons who hate devotional service is of equal strength, then it is seen that he neither advances nor does he fall away. Nityananda Das. When does he definitely make advancement? Haridas. When his association with devotees is great and his association with persons who hate devotional service is small, then he makes swift advancement. Nityananda Das. What are the sins and virtues of the neophyte devotee? Haridas. In the beginning, a neophyte devotee may be much like the mental speculators, jnanis, and fruitive workers, karmis. However, as he makes advancement in devotional service, his sins and defects are thrown far away. when is then his desire to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes strong. So when we have desires for karma and jnana, then our desire to please the Lord will be weak. And when those are removed or lessened, as they are lessened, then our desire to please the Lord becomes stronger. So we can see there's a direct connection. So you can't be absorbed in all these karma and jnana at the same time say that you want to please the Lord. Because they don't go together. You can't have both. That's the means how you say? Means the perverted reflection of the Saragrahi devotee, the one who takes the essence out of everything, then is the materialist who takes the essence out of all the material sense gratification and feels they can get everything. Right? Like that. So it doesn't work like that. Neither does it work on the material platform, and neither will it work on the spiritual. One has to give up the one to accept the other. You know? It's just like, forget who is telling. So there's a very nice example. He was telling the system in one of these countries in Africa how they catch monkeys. You can catch monkeys, but no, he was saying, how do you find water? You're out in the desert, and that, so it must be, you don't know where water is. You know, there's some this and that, but even you're in the area, it's going to be huge open areas, and or even forest, there's no water. So they would find a place where there's monkeys, and then they would find an anthill. So I guess this is all common things in this place. Then they go to the anthill and they would make a hole in the anthill of a certain size, an exact size. Then they would very obviously, because monkeys watch everything you do, pull out some grains or something that they like. And then they pour it inside the hole. And then they go away, and then hide. The monkeys being very, they'll come and they saw the grains, they want the grains. So they'll go and they'll stick their hand in the hole. So the hand is, you can put your hand like this and get it in the hole. Just like putting on a bangle, you can get your hand in. Then they will grab the grains, then they want to pull their hand out of the hole, but it won't fit. No. Right? It's too big. Oh yeah, this is for catching the monkey, not for getting the water. The water is a different one. Then the guy will come along and just peacefully walk out and catch the monkey. Because the monkey is so attached to the grains, it won't let go. So it sees the guy coming, it's freaking out and pulling it, trying to get away, but it won't let go. Means you let go, you can get free. But they want to keep the grains and get free. I want to keep all my material desires and get liberation and go back to God. No, but it won't work. One has to have one or the other. One can't have both. So it's... Yeah, the monkey one is you give them a chunk of salt. They like salt. So then they'll lick on the salt and then they'll get really thirsty. So then they'll just run towards
water.
Hide
runs to find the water.
Yeah, so you just follow them. But you have to be half monkey yourself to follow a monkey. So, whatever. So here they're directly connected. So sometimes one doesn't connect it, but one has to connect it. Is that my material desires for karma and jnana, as strong those are, then my desire to please the Lord will be less. As I lessen that, then the desire to please the Lord will get more. So when his desire is to please the Lord and those are reduced, that's called pure devotional service. So that's the symptom of the madhyama. Nityananda Das. O Master, I have understood the description of the neophyte devotees. Oh, now he's going to go into the Madhyamas. So then we should probably not go farther with this. So any other questions or points on any of this? And here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai.